sorry I came late. My name is Andrew Cho from Columbus, Ohio. I have two children. My son is graduating from college this May.
Amen.
And my daughter is going to college this fall. So one out and
one out.
Yeah, so 21 and 18. Amen. Praise the Lord. Through the fellowship with the Robert, I think this morning fellowship is not about the message. No one give any message. No one tell you what to do. We are all kind of learners, and they're learning, pursuing the Lord together, and also like to know how to do parenting in the church life. We all failures, and with a little bit here and there, success experience. So we like to have a more having the mutual fellowship time. So before we do that, I wonder we can pray with the two verses. Amen. Actually, God is the real parent.
Amen.
So how about we touch God, who is real father, who dispense himself as life into. So first verse is Philippians chapter 3. Book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. There is the first verse. And then second verse will be 2 Timothy verse chapter 2, verse 21. So we can read one verse, enjoy the verse, and verse first, and then the other read, and enjoy the verse together. First one is Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Can we read together? Amen.
Brothers, I do not count myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before.
Okay. My standing doesn't mean I'm the one who will give a message or anything, but I'm just a star and facilitate, and hopefully everyone feels comfortable to participate and speak. And then certain morning, since this is not giving message, we don't have to have a complete word. Actually, parenting is ongoing learning, ongoing pursuing until we see the Lord himself. So if you have some feeling, I'm serving full-time in Columbus. By the way, I'm serving full-time in Columbus. I moved to Columbus 2008. Before then, I was a little bit different from Columbus, Orange County, Irvine, Orange County, California, for 12 years. Before then, 2 years in Anaheim, and before then, it was Texas. So you can tell, temperature-wise, Texas is warm and hot, and Orange County is the right temperature. And then when I moved to Columbus, Ohio, my wife's first winter, first snow, she turned around, she looked at me, "Honey, what is this?" So I told her that this is called winter. So anyway, the serving, and then, so the thing, we feel the comfort. So one thing I do with serving with the full-time, younger full-timers, I train one thing first. Before I try to suggest anything how to serve, what they're supposed to do, that is, the best coordination is when you are not sure or when you have something to say, raise your hand just to say it or ask. So our coordination in Columbus campus team is very sometimes fun and hilarious. Like I'm talking and the sister's hand, and that means everybody stop. And we turn, "Hey, Daniel, wow, Joe." So she asks certain things. So I hope this morning Animal Space this similar thing. If you have something you'd like to add, to say, please feel free, but for the sake of everybody recognize you like to do, so raising hand, and that may be helpful. Or if you have any kind of question, not to me and to one another, and then maybe also you express. So we start one way. I really hope the Lord is with us, the shepherding us in throughout this kind of corporate mutual shepherding and fellowship. He may bring us into something according to his heart. because all the children in the church, actually all the children even on the earth, this expression, and when I was a training, and anyway, our brother Dan and I, we were in the training together. He used to be much younger than today, but that was 25 years ago. there is a brother named Brother Gene Gruller. One time he mentioned that it really stuck to my mind and heart. All the children is God's blessed gift to family, to the children, even to the society. That their word never left me. So when we talk about what we're supposed to do, before we get into that realm, we hopefully, we just one thing, we become clear before the Lord, with one another, all the children are precious gift to our family, to the church particularly. Actually, without the children, church has no way to go on. But if children is really precious, they are the special gift from God to us as a parent, especially to the church. How important it is for us as parents to learn from God how to do the parenting. Sometimes we try to teach a lot of things, kids, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. And one time, the Lord kind of reminded me, when you are saying like that to your children, do you really know how to help them? What are you supposed to do? So my answer is, I never learned how to be a parent. I just doing it. And then Lord said, as much as children need to learn how to do the thing, you as a parent also need to learn. Because God didn't give us parents, this is another expression it really struck me after I had my first child, one of the leading brothers in Irvine impressed me so much there. Our children, we don't have any kind of ownership over our children. God gave it to us only one thing, stewardship. Actually, all the children belong to God, yet God gave us a special portion called stewardship. God, we are entrusted with the stewardship to take care of our children who belong to God and God alone. So, do we really know how to do the stewardship? We may know a little bit, but we may not know that much. So why don't we come together as a parent, we like to learn together so that we can shepherd and take care of our children in the best way. For the sake of the Lord's interest, particularly for the sake of the future of all the churches in his recovery. So I hope this is our kind of beginning. We like to fellowship. The other thing is, in the midst of speaking, I will tell some stories and examples. Most of the story I can give you is I thought really hard to find out any kind of successful story as a parent to my kid. It was really, really hard. Here and there, maybe a few, last about 21 years. But once I'm thinking about my failure, literally hundreds of stories coming out. So I may pick up a few of the best, deepest failure as a parent. Hopefully you are encouraged. But I'm still here. You are still here. Amen. So we are. That's why I chose the first verse. Is actually, I didn't choose this verse. I was seeking the Lord. Lord, I want to have some verses before the saints. So, and then Lord gave me this for Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Sometimes, either we might dwell what we really did as a kind of successful thing we did for our kid. Oh, I did this. Or sometimes we may be very disappointed about ourselves as parents. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Well, look at the dead saint. Look at that couple. They did a great job. But look at me. What did I do with my kids kind of feeling? But actually, Lord said, we love our own children. No, I never seen parents who do not love their own children. We try our best, but somehow turn out there. Didn't have a good result for some cases. But it's not like we deliberately try to do anything not good, but we try our best. But at least this morning, our spirit is happen, something happened. We forget the things which are behind. Amen. From now on, in the church, with one another, we just pursue. Even stretch forward, even like pursuing hard to the things which are before waiting for us. Amen. There are so many things, so many coordination fellowship we can do in the church life as a parent so that we can take care of our children. So I hope that will be our beginning spirit, Lord's spirit. Like no one should feel condemned or disappointed or a little bit discouraged. Actually, our God is not here as the spirit of condemnation. God is always here as God of encouragement and God of moving forward. Amen. Can we have a moving forward spirit?
Amen.
How about stretching forward spirit?
Amen.
So hopefully looking at me as a total failure, but I didn't give up yet. I'm still pursuing.
Amen.
I'm still seeking the fellowship. Believe me, I'm really seeking the fellowship. When my son didn't talk to me when he was a teenager, praise the Lord for teenagers, amen. But I couldn't say when he was going to. He literally, except two or three words a day. Hi, bye, I'm hungry. You know how long he did that? For 18 months. He just, one time I asked, how come you don't talk to me? And he said, look at him there. Actually, I have nothing to talk to you. And just walk away. And I was very provoked, almost like, what do you mean you don't have anything to talk to? I have a lot to talk to you. And he looked at me. I didn't say in 3 seconds that he just walked away. I lived that way with him for 18 months. 18 months was very long, isn't it?
Yes.
Now I came to my second one, called teenager girl. Oh, Lord Jesus, teenager girl.
Amen. Welcome.
Still going on after 3 years. But recently, she started to talk to me a little bit. With a little bit minimum size of smile. Yeah, when I saw her smiling a little bit, my heart was full of joy.
Amen.
Yes, it was difficult. I'm still having a hard time. The reason she is doing with me, not because she's wrong. Most of the things coming from me. Not taking care of her well, not spending enough time with her. So for a while, I was quite condemned. So I prayed this matter to the Lord, and the Lord said, it's fine. Of course, you are not good. I mean, nothing new about it. Like one time, I fellowship with Brad Minoru, and when I was serving in Irvine, Brad Minoru, I feel like I'm really not good full-timers. And I keep emphasizing how bad I am. Eventually, he got tired of it, and he said, and just stop it. I knew that from day one. Okay, there's nothing to be discouraged about. You are really bad, and you're still bad. You're very consistent about it, right? But one thing I appreciate, actually, that's why I let you continue to serve. So I, so far, served about 23 years. And with him, under him about 12 years in church in Irvine, one of the things he said, you're not the best, but I'm not looking for best. I'm looking for brother and sister who love the Lord, who pursue, and who is willing to learn. You have them. So that's good enough for me. And the next thing, can we go back to coordination? Instead of we talking about your depression stuff. So again, so there was that. So, brothers and sisters, when we're talking fellowship about any kind of parenting, we need to get out of that realm. We just enjoy the Lord. We are in the glorious place called church life.
Amen.
The paradise of God to God himself, paradise of God to ourselves, and then paradise of God to our children. Sometimes we really need to remind ourselves that our children, they are in the best place in the universe. They cannot find better than church life.
Amen.
In this regard, I never hesitate to tell my children, I'm not good at to you. Yes, we don't have this. You know, you have so much limitation. I understand that. But whether you believe or not, whether you take it or not, I say you are in the best place in the universe. So because of that, I have nothing to be ashamed of. So saints, they are in the best place. We are also in the best place called glorious church life.
Amen.
So hopefully, that's the spirit we like to feel. We need to feel encouraged. We are in the right place. And yet, we just need to pursue the Lord together and helping one another. Because this job is so hard. To do the parenting, especially in this age, to be a parent, really, really seems like a difficult job. I mean, I thought I had a difficult time. Look at the young couple with the little children and the whole society, what's going on. This whole thing is, wow, this is too much to bear. So there are a lot to reason we encourage one another to stand with one another so that we can go on together. Without the standing with one another, it's very hard to, you know, I'm finishing second. I have only two children. I'm finishing this glorious time called teenager time. Now I look at the lesson, young couple of five children, and you're like, whoa, it may take at least 10, 15 years to get out of all this teenager thing. But not like a teenager thing. Actually, you think about the school and everything, even today, even children. Recently, I heard one of the same the children, which is, I think, second and third grade, came back. Mom, I heard this at school. And then sister told me, what? Where? Who told you? My teacher told me that was right. And then she was so provoked, almost said, right away, like, it is not right. But she realized she cannot just always say like, because that means you let your children go against your teacher, right? So, and then like, she said, what to say? And then she really couldn't figure out. So she waited until husband, brother came back. So, hey, honey, this is your daughter heard from school. And then husband is reacting stronger. What? Who said it? Where? We are not sending her to school anymore. And the wife said, like, if she doesn't go to, what are we going to do with her? Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. It's difficult, challenging. So this small thing, it's like this small, but this is a real thing we are experiencing day by day. So anyway, so it's a very difficult job to do as a parent, especially we are here for the Lord's recovery, for the Lord's testimony. Our job, maybe sometimes we feel much heavier than anyone. But before we touch any matters, the saints, we have God we trust in. So we have also a church where we dwell. More specifically, I want you to practice this. I train our young full-timers, young couples, whoever is willing to listen to my fellowship. We have one another. Really, to me, it means a lot. We have one, of course, one another, really, I don't mean limit only brothers and sisters in this room. One another means there are so many brothers and sisters in the church life. You are pursuing the Lord together, home meeting together. We really have one another. So can I teach one practice to loosen up a little bit? I know some brothers and sisters have ready to write. Actually, my speaking is never, there's not much to write down. Okay. I'll really teach one thing. You need to learn to how much you need to treasure one another. One of the practice is, I ask you to look at one another, the person right next to you, just right next to you, and look at one another to face. Husband, wife, look at one another, brother and sister, one another. I'm serious. I say hello to one, hi, say hello. I know a little bit awkward, isn't it? Oops, I didn't wash my face this morning. Are you rubbing that? I'm serious. Just look at one more time. I know if you are not usual. This is a little bit uncomfortable. I remind the brother and sister who are serving with me, I remind the young people, brothers and sisters I'm involved with, I remind the saints in the church in Columbia, I remind anyone. Brothers and sisters, you look at right now, these brothers and sisters you will depend on to shepherd your children. We are not here looking for ideal church life. We are not looking for, always looking for Coco best brother and sister who can help my children. Actually, we all love the Lord. We all love our children. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I can share later. Second part of second meeting is this matter of a new view about our children. That means we, the person, brother and sister right next to you, who is the one who get built up with you? I'm talking about in the context of church life. They are the one who pray for your children. They are the one who will take your children out to ice cream. And they are the one who will even spend some time. Hopefully, they are the one who help them how to live a human life. So English is not my first language, you can tell. You don't need the revelation to find out English is my first language. And I have a strong accent, but it's okay. God, it's not my fault, it's God's fault, because I didn't come to U.S. until I became 28 years old. I started to learn how to speak English when I was 28, but so I'm still learning it. So if you don't understand my English, ask the person who have a second language, English is second language. They understand better. And so Brother Jose understands that, because what did he say? Most likely, he might try to say that, and then he put the sentence, and sometimes turn out pretty close. we shepherd one another. So it takes a whole village to make one young man or woman, one teenager, one college, one young brother, sister, very properly perfected, useful vessel. It takes a whole village. In other words, it takes a whole church. More specifically, I really have a burden that those brothers, sisters you are built up with, you need them to shepherd your children. So before I get into that, I can tell you one story first, since it's very easy to follow. One time, there was a major issue between me and my wife and my precious daughter. Hopefully my daughter never listened to this. Maybe. So we couldn't communicate. Certain matter came up. It's just we couldn't communicate. There was World War III, and then on a small house, and it's just Cold War air so cold. So we don't talk. We didn't even communicate. So for a while. So every day after I finished coming from the brothers' meeting, I text my wife first. What is the weather broadcast at home right now? And then my wife said, it's not good. And I usually, okay, I hang up the phone, I visit some saints. He's still going home. And saints are like, oh, why you visit LA? And oh, yeah, I really like you. So anyway, but that means I like to cool down a little bit. I came home, so several nights. So eventually, we realized we have no way to open her heart. She got so disappointed by us. Regardless of what reason, teenager got disappointed. It is real. Whether they are right, they are wrong, it doesn't matter. They are right. So it's kind of real. So eventually we couldn't solve. So what we did was my wife and I, we pray. And then we realized we have saints. So there are three sisters we have been built up together. They are about 10 years younger than us. They have all little children. 10 or 15 years, or some kids, 20 years. So we open up. Hey, sister, you know how much we're having a hard time. All of them, they know, because through the home meeting, we all pray so much. And these three sisters, one by one, contact us. Okay, let me think about what can we do for you. So eventually, one of three called my daughter. And they start to talk, and then my daughter feels comfortable. And then one evening, most difficult moment, rain pour out outside about 9:45 p.m. This sister who has two little children, her car pulling into the nearby my house, right in front of the house. And then my daughter quietly, of course she didn't let us know where she was going, even though we heard everything from sister. And I'm like, oh, where are you going? Sometimes we need to learn how to perform without the conscience bothering us. Okay, so she left, and she came back exactly 45 minutes later. And she just walked into her room. And next morning, she woke up. Something happened. And she said, it's fine. So back to family life. I became her dad again, my wife again, her mom again. And she became our daughter again. And then I asked her later, the sister said, hey, what did you do? You did something magical. We tried so hard. But she said, I didn't do anything. She just sat with her. The panera bread or ice cream, I don't know what this one. Just sat with her 45 minutes. And that's it. She said a little bit. My daughter said a little bit, but nothing particular, not trying to shepherd, not trying, oh, you need to do this, nothing. Just sat with her. And she came back, and she's fine. God was there. Not only God was there, God was being ministered through another sister in the church. Not through word, not through that, not through just living person. Who has heart? Who had heart for my daughter? So I think there's. I think you may sense a little bit where we are going this morning. By the way, I also need to listen very clearly. I'm not a good speaker at all. It's nothing new. If you say, "Well, you really do not know how to speak," it never bothered me. Actually, I really accept that. So one time, this brother minority expressed about my speaking. Okay, so hopefully you don't have a high expectation. Some people pick up the orange by going to the orange tree, like brother, what's your name?
Miguel.
Yeah, Miguel. Most of you go there, get some leather, and go there, like pick up the orange. Oh, this is right. This is right. And this is right. And this is right. Right? But you know what he said? You also get the orange, but the way you got orange is very strange. Wow, that's not a nice word for me. Anyway, all right, so I said, like, you go to the, one thing you know, you're pretty good at, you always chose the best orange tree. There's a lot of orange ready to go. And then you pick up the stick, and you start to swing around. Hopefully, two or three just drop, and you enjoy, and you just walk away. So what he meant was, you really, he's joking, the more I hearing your speaking, I was pretty clear before you start to speak. Once you start to speak, I get more confused. but he said, one thing I enjoy is that you have some point, you have burden in it. So hopefully, if I'm go all over the places, hopefully you enjoy something that we can touch one another's heart. That will be our fellowship. Okay, so I think this is enough introductory word. Not introductory word, is fellowship. So we are in the same boat. So, Brother Jose, I love our Brother Jose. You know why? He's not that good. Like me. So whenever I see him, oh, I still have a hope. Because you know, like, even though he's not that good, like I'm not that good, he's not that good, but he's still pursuing, he's enjoying the Lord, be with his daughters, like, wow, he can still do that. I can do that too. So I hope that we all of us in the same boat, actually. I mean, I don't know if you have thought about that. My mom passed away about a long time ago. She one time said, hey, boy, if I ever become parents again when you are young, I'll do it a little bit different way. Isn't that how we feel many, many times told our children? But this is, I got comforted by brothers and co-workers there. There's no such a thing. Actually, we did what we could do. That is what God is looking for us to do. That's it. Yet, if you didn't do everything your children need, let the church take care of your shortages. Don't you try to be everything. Church need to do something for your children. You do your part, but let the church do church's part. That's how, this is the last statement, it's very, I think it's significant to me. That's how our children become the man and woman, even he said, vessels in and for the church. If a church doesn't do anything when they are growing up, you may raise up the best children in the eyes of the world, but they may not become useful vessels in and for the church. Church must be involved with the parenting. So in that sense, saints, church is our corporate family. Church is, in a sense, we all are corporate parents. I hope this is some point we can open up to one another. Amen? Okay, do you have an outline you have with you?
Oh, yeah. I think everybody got it.
Oh, you got the outline? Yeah. Since we made the outline, but be at peace, we are not giving you a message. But if you have time to listen, I don't want you to listen to my talk. I want you to listen again to the crystallization of the Book of Numbers message so they can get. But today, they just open fellowship. But there is some expression we can get from the ministry of the EIA. So there are so much help. How about we can? Everybody got this. How about let's read a few sentences just together. Title together.
The importance of the children and young people's work for the future of the Lord's recovery.
Amen. So how about sisters? Roman numeral one.
We all need to know what age we are in. What the present revelation is from God, where we should be, what we should do, and what flow we should enter into. Time is short, and the day of the Lord's second coming is approaching.
Amen. There is this matter of this expression is a kind of Lord's heart. Lord has a strong desire. Even some brother used the word urgent desire. So when we take care, when we are functioning, exercising our stewardship as a parent, first of all, we need to touch before children first, not children first. We need to touch God's heart first. Everything I'm very short of experiences, so please don't take it as a parent, but I'm endeavoring to touch this sentence. Everything it related our children, related children, young people, even taking care of all the saints, any saints shepherding the church, it starts with the two hearts. That is, the heart is God's heart and our heart. So that was one of the biggest help I received. Shortly after we had the children, and then I still remember, honey, I become dad. You are mom. And then my wife turned around, so what we are supposed to do? The baby, my boy is crying. Honey, I do not know what to do with this boy. What do you mean you don't know? We both of us realized we really didn't know what to do with this boy. So one time, big issue came out shortly after. We felt he was eating too much. So we read so many books. Right now, young mom and dad is just depending on books a lot. And then books plus, Google plus, whatever. And then so we started to decided not to feed that much. What happened? Boy cried. So we decided, let him cry. We are taking care of your health for your whole life. You're eating too much. And then next morning, he was so crying that we just gave a little meal until he was so exhausted and then fell asleep. Oh, good. We did a good job. And then next morning, my wife told that story to one of the sisters who is the elder's wife and told her, she turned around and looked at that. My wife's name is Ruth. Ruth, are you crazy? What do you mean? We did our best. And she said, when baby cry for milk, that means he's hungry. You're supposed to feed. What do you mean, concern about bigger, smaller? And then, wow, nobody told us clearly. We read the book, and she was, this is older sister, like, forget about those books. Very simple. When baby cry for meal, it's time to feed. It sounds very stupid kind of thing, but that's where we are. We are learning so many things. Then one time, we approach to one of the sister, leading brother's wife. What is the best way to take care of our boy and girl and this and that, this and that? And the sister said, hey, Andrew and Ruth, I do not know what is the best way to take care of your kids. Because actually, I do not know how to take care of our kids, four kids. She had four kids, now all full grown. And but one thing I do, if you like to know the Lord, I need to spend time with him until I get to know him. In like manner, if I like to know my children, I've been spending my time with them until I understand them. That's all I know. And then we walk away. But that sounds right. Nothing special. I can do that. But later on, that was really true. Because there has been always stick with us that spending time with the Lord and spending time with the saint, and what about the spending quality time with our children until we understand. Every child is a different. But somehow we got wrapped up with this best way to raise up the kids without knowing who our children really are. So anyway, there was another experience. So in the context, that means we really know God's heart, and also point is everything starts with our heart. So this is how to begin with the parenting, stewardship as a parent with the two hearts. We touch God's heart, and we exercise our heart to love the Lord. Okay, brothers, can we read Romans number 2?
We cannot continue to work as we have in the past. In the past, we neglected the work with the children and the young people, and we highly regarded a general work.
Amen. So probably this is the burden, brothers, here. Actually, Ohio, we have exactly the same feeling and burden that it's time to really reconsider. And God is moving. Co-workers constantly reconsider what is the best way for the recovery to go on. And all the leading brothers constantly reconsider what is the best way to take care of the church to go on. So in the same principle and same spirit, it really doesn't mean what we did in the past is really bad, it's a failure. That's not the spirit we like to analyze. But at the same time, we always are open to learn something from the Word, from the God, and from the ministry, so that we can make a progress. As much as we can make a progress, we can help our children make a progress. So this is another expression. One time, there was a parenting fellowship in Columbus about 7-8 years ago, and we invited one of the co-workers here. He shared this. That was very interesting comment, but yet it was very helpful. He said this way: don't worry about your children first. Actually, worry about yourself first. He said, children are children. 60s children, they cause problem. 80 children, they cause problem. 2000, they cause problem. This year, 2013, our children still cause problem with many things. And then he said, like, they're cute, right? That kind of thing. So he said, they are very consistent. Don't worry about that. they're children. Of course, society is getting worse, darkened, because we are more alarmed. But their children are children, young people are young people, teenagers teenagers. But many times, the reason we are not making a progress because parents are not making a progress. So he didn't say to condemn the parent. He mainly said that to shepherd, encourage the saints. The saints, let's go on together. If there is anything we can get the help from the ministry, why don't we learn? Why don't we bear this burden together? Why don't we shepherd our children together? That's the spirit. So in that sense, our children's our children, but hopefully through this kind of thing, we ourselves learning, we make progress before the Lord and in the Lord and together in the church life, so that all the children under our care can go on together. Okay, sisters, Roman number 3. Okay. I don't have any particular in addition, but one thing I like to mention is we really need the Lord open our eyes to see the preciousness of young people, children. I mean, children, when I say children, is your own children or the children and young people. It's all of us, all those young children, young people in the church life. We really need the Lord open our eyes to see that. But this matter of preciousness is, you know, I served first about 14 and 15 years solely on college campus. I never pay attention to children. I don't mean I didn't love them, but just I focus on campus. But after I moved to Ohio, there was a necessity. I had to be involved with the children's service and young people's service. Through that process, I really reconsider how I spend my time, how I spend with the children. And I had going through the little Lord's dealing within me. Then I realized all the children, including children, whatever age, all the way up to 25, 30, 40, actually everyone is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Everyone is a God-given gift. So I started to pray, Lord, enlarge my heart to love anyone. So this matter of once we see the preciousness of our children in God's eyes, we start to realize a little bit, we need to have the same eyes with God in seeing our children. So I may repeat that. It's nothing special, but I just repeat that. If God open our eyes to really see the preciousness of young people according to his heart, even for his purpose, that really indicates that we need to have the same eyes with God in raising up our own children. I guess no one gets inspired. I got very inspired. I'm just repeat this and again. Sometimes we think that, yes, children are precious. So we try our best to take care of our children. But one missing part is we may take care of our children because it's very precious. But we may take care of our children because they are precious according to our own eyes. Big difference in that we see their preciousness according to his eyes. Why our children are so precious in his eyes. How and what our God wants to do with our children. We need to be one with God and one with his eyes. Then make our stewards, exercise stewards, maybe very different. We all of us has a desire. So I expose another thing. I went to the training. I really enjoyed the FTTA training. So I served full time because of FTTA training. So when my children's grown up, born and grown up, I consecrate them to go to the training when they were young. Okay, once they come to the high school and college, in general, I still want my son and daughter go to training. So I thought I'm always that kind of feeling in general. And one time, one young full-timer came to me. He called me Brocho. I don't know, whatever you call it, it's fine. As long as I'm brother in the Lord, it's pretty much Brocho, like this. Like. He's only about 30 years younger than I am, like this. Are you really sure? Are you going to really send your son and daughter to FTTA? Are you really? You have been preaching to us. you encourage us. So I went. So now your turn. I want to send your son and daughter, like the way you encourage me and other brothers and sisters to go training. So this is my reaction. Don't be disappointed by my reaction. That's why, by seeing how poor I am, you can be encouraged. In general, yes. But deep within, they don't want to, they don't have to go. You know that mixed feeling? Do you understand what a mixed feeling? I mean, if they don't want to, they don't go. Instead of going to train, that literally in 5 seconds, all kinds of come, they can go get the job, like this. That's when Lord visited. You're different between what you preach, what you practice. Like this. So why I'm saying this our children really need, our children are so precious. But if it's a precious, they need to be precious, not according to our eyes, according to his heart in his eyes. So that means we need to spend a little bit time how God look at our children. If we know how God look at our children, and then we may need to start to struggle, Lord, I don't look at that way. And then real, genuine struggling before us and God as parents first. Before we even encourage our children, God struggling. Actually, real struggling must start between God, ourselves first. Until we see our own children, or all the children, all the young people in the church, the way God look at them. Once we arrive at that stage, we are much more ready to really shepherd our precious next generation. So may the Lord shepherd all of us to become one with God. We become one with God first before we ask our children to become one with God. Amen. I think that real parenting starts right here. When we say stewardship, means that we are one with God, one with his heart's desire, one with his way, even one with his view, before we try to shepherd anyone first. So in this regard, saints, don't feel condemned. You are not one with God. I'm out. No, you are not out. No one is out. Free to in, and I didn't say yet, but I usually say always like that. Meaning very free to in, but we have no freedom to leave. We are all in the same boat. Boat already left. We are in the middle of ocean. So we better become one in fellowship. So saints, be encouraged, but at this time we need to have a definite, strong, definite pursuing. Lord, shepherd me. Amen. Lord, make me one with you first.
Amen.
One with your heart, one with your view, one with your desire, even one with your plan for my children.
Amen.
I don't think anybody here, we can say, I'm absolutely one with your heart's desire, one with none. Actually, I'm very impure. Until the brother asks, if really helps realize, I say thank you to him. He exposed how hiddenly impure in my eyes. I preach, literally hundreds of young people go to the FTTA. And he said, what about your own son? What about your own daughter? Yeah, for sure. But deep within, not so sure. But may the Lord to shepherd us first.
Amen.
So Lord, here I am.
Amen.
Shepherd me.
Amen.
Shepherd me and my wife.
Amen.
Shepherd me our home meeting.
Amen.
Shepherd me to all the brother parents in the church, whatever church we are in. Make us one with you first.
Amen.
One with your desire, one with your view, even one with your practical plan.
Amen.
For my children, her children, their children, and then when we pray according to God's heart in his view.
Amen.
And for his plan. I really believe Lord will bless all of our children under our care if we are one with God in this way.
Amen.
So in that context, this co-working brother told me, don't worry about children, worry about yourself first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, okay. And then next, Roman number four together.
And the future of the church.
Amen. The future of the church hinges on the young people. Okay. Amen. The future of the church hinges on the young people. So I will dwell on this point for a while if you feel okay. The word future is not today. Future. And second word is the church. And third word is hinges on, depend on. Fourth word is young people. Parenting, it seems, I wish, kind of feeling. But since here are many brothers and sisters older than I am. I'm only 52. I'm youngest out of six. So I always feel like I'm cutie boy. Kind of. And then my wife said, be quiet. Kind of. Yeah, not cutie boy. And the thing is, 52. So I have a lot to learn. There are many brothers and sisters older, and a human more experienced. It's very hard. Anybody ask, sister, you haven't taken your five children. Amen. You have over 60. So you must know what to do. But I heard this answer. You know what? The more I experience, the kind of I know, but the less I know than before. Kind of. Parenting is ongoing learning. It's very hard to do. But the reason, one of the main reasons is related to you saw something today, but result you will see 20 years later. If you know, if you saw today, and then tomorrow morning, your children, your little kids said, Dad, why you said, change my life? If you hear this kind of answer, you will do that. But your kids like that, and next morning, complaining. You always force me to go to the meeting. Have you heard about this expression? One time I thought, okay, before the Lord, before angel, before devil, okay, I encouraged my daughter to go conference just twice in the last 18 years. First time, I didn't encourage her. Would you like to go? Am I forcing her? Would you like to go? So she went. Second time was, are you planning to go? You know what she said? She was very upset. Remember, that was the beginning of her teenager life with us. She turned around like, Dad, you always force me to go. Have you ever heard this expression? But maybe you never, but I turned around and I went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, my hand, when did you say to your daughter? Never. I just asked twice. God, you have to vindicate myself like this. But and then I waited about a few minutes and I'm sorry I forced you. So you don't have to go. Is anyone we do? Like, it's okay. So that's difficult. The second time, I was like, even I didn't let her know when is the conference date. I don't want to hear that. I don't want that. But following time, somehow she was in good mood, and she had ice cream the night before. I don't know what happened. He said, Dad, I'd like to go to a conference. Word was totally awkward. You don't have to go. No, I really don't. No, you don't have to go. And then she said, like, I want to go. And then my wife said, well, if you really want to, you can go. And we told her, maybe your children's not like that. Why? Difficult children, this matter of the future. Not we sown the seed today, but Lord will make the seed grow. Maybe 10 years later, some mature one. Maybe 15 years one, average one. Maybe 20 years one, which is a typical one. That's why sometimes very hard to be one with the Lord. Once while you are waiting, our own way starts to come in. I hope you understand. So that's, we sowing and waiting is the most difficult part, seems like, in the taking care of our children. But I'd like to encourage you with my one note. Please cover me. I'm talking about my son a little bit, but please It's not like my son. I received this literally 3 days ago. Do you like to know what he sent? He sent it to me. He's anyway graduating from college, 21 years. This is the first time I ever heard from my own son since he was born. He is a 21 year old. Now hopefully, I know most of your children already did this kind of thing already, but you're lucky, okay? I waited for 21 years. So I'm not still sure, Robert, why he asked me to come to a fellowship of parents. I'm a total failure kind of thing, okay? This is a text message that he sent to me and my wife and my own my daughters, three of our family text message. Hi. I read this phone note. This phone note reminded me of all of you, especially mom and dad. That was the first text. And then my wife and I, what is it? And then, like, this is a more interesting movie than Star Wars, kind of, right? Okay. This is, I read his phone note, and he highlighted two sentences. I think this phone note, some of you will know. This is phone note from Genesis chapter 4. The phone note had that. According to Hebrews chapter 11, 4, Abel's offering or sacrifice was offered to God by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of the gospel. This indicates that Abel's parents, Adam and Eve, must have proclaimed their children glad tidings that God had announced to them. Next sentence he highlighted. Like his father and mother, Abel believed the gospel, presented his offering to God according to God's revelation in the word proclaimed by his parents. He highlighted, this will not remind me of you, mom and dad. That's all. And we like to take a maximum credit out of it, you know? Yeah, thank you, like this. From his side, no comment anymore. Anyway, he said, don't try to get more than what you're supposed to get. After we got this text message from him, my wife and I, we just calmly, with looking at one another, we thank the Lord. Amen. Yes, it took 21 years. We look back last 21 years, since he was born, what happened? How many nights you couldn't go to sleep? Kids got sick. How many times you are agonized by their condition? How many times when they cause problem in the family, even in school? How many times my son fought with a classmate and principal called you to come in to talk, to deal with the situation? All 21 memories are coming in and out. All those years, we never heard this kind of thing. And then one day, he started to enjoy the Lord, enjoy the church life. Now he started to shepherd the younger one. That was amazing. He is taking care of younger ones. And then I told my wife, God is real.
Amen.
He's taking care of several of them. And he started to pray for his classmate. It took 21 years. And then I thought, honey, how do you feel? My wife doesn't say that much. Basically, she paraphrased this way. It's all worth it. 21 years. I hope that we touch the spirit together. We are talking about decades after decades, sometimes 20 years. One of the brotherly grandson, brotherly waited 18 years. Until grandson came to brotherly, I'm old grandpa, I decided to live that way. Brother couldn't answer back to him. All his response was tears coming out of on his bed in the hospital. He was so joyful, but he waited. Such an apostle, such a minister of the age, waiting for grandson to turn 18 years. This is because this is a future of the church. Hinges on this. It's a future. We raising up the next, not this generation, we're raising up the next generation for the future of the church. But I hope we touched this spirit together, saints. We are here for the future of the church. Amen. It was difficult. Didn't you have a difficult time with your own little cutie boy, used to be cutie boy, and all of a sudden they start to go to school, and they like, rah! Like this kind of, didn't you feel disappointed? I know some kids are growing up very nice. Blessed are you. But Lord didn't give me that kind of blessing. Lord gave me like, ah, kind of brother, son and daughter. But you know what? Whether they are kind, whether they are reacting to you, they are God-given blessed vessels. We are not paying attention whether they are kind, not kind today. Their kindness today is not what God is looking for. Their roughness is not what God is looking for. God is looking for the vessel who can be useful for his purpose. Not today, not tomorrow, not even next year. Maybe another 10 years later, or maybe 20 years later. So that's why God depends on parents, saints, a lot. Doing right parenting has a lot to do how the church can go on. But this is enduring work. This is waiting long time. Like my case is, actually I've been waiting for this kind of whatever from my son for a long time. At some point, I gave up. No response. I did a lot of things. He's just man of two words, three words. One time, he got invited by the saint. Asked him, hey, how's your college life? Saints that I want to hear about it like this. He said, very good. That's it. And I turned around. And then he said, he asked me how good it is. I said, very good. But he got changed. Through the church life at Shepherding, he speak much more. He shared about the word and give a testimony, visiting the younger one, pray for younger one, Shepherding new roommate and everything. Where did they come from? Not just college work. Not just young people's work. Not just the children's work. Whole church that are literally, I don't know how many saints, maybe 100, maybe 1,000, I do not know. Many saints has been sowing the seed. Care, love, prayer, shepherding, exalting, shaking them out, whatever it is. Yet, results start to come out 21 years later. Saints, I believe this is the touch the core of what God really wants us to be as parents. It sounds very difficult, isn't it? So at this moment, I'd like to introduce the three sentences. I hope you can dwell on it, think about it. And then I'm not trying to impress you anything. Ministry says parents play most vital, important role in raising up our children. Let me repeat that many, many times. Parents, then you and your wife with your children, you play most important role, function in raising up our generation. Not the church, not young people serving, not even children serving, not Robert Shen. He's actually good, but he's not that good. But he's just okay, brother, like me. We cannot depend on saints in that kind. You have to understand. We take most important part. Right? We say to play a most important role. According to Brother Watchman Nee saying is that in the church history, biggest fail among the churches the last 20 years is a failure of a parenting. All the other areas, gospel, shepherding, taking care of, somewhat through some people, Lord had some successful result. But biggest failure part is actually, according to Brother Nee's observation, parenting. Because parenting play most important role in raising up our children. So hopefully saying, this, I'm not trying to give you a burden, heavy feeling. So after this meeting is done and then you decide not to come to second session because you feel don't do that, I will count the number. If one is missing, I will wait for you until you I'm not going to say anything. So please, even to encourage me, you have to come back. Like Brother Ron always said, if you feel tired of speaking, he said, peacefully go to sleep. If after you feel refreshed, come back to continue to listen to my fellow. So I'm saying, but don't leave, okay, please. I drove 9 hours yesterday to have a dissolution. So, okay. Okay. So parents play most important role, not young people serving one. Not children's meeting. Not Saturday night young people's meeting. Not even conference. Not summer school tour. Not even winter camp. Parents. Because you are with them. You spend the most of time with them face to face. You know whether they're sick or not. You know what they like or not. You know what subject they hate. I hate math. I heard that expression a million times from my daughter's mouth. And I heard a million times from my son's mouth, I love math. So one kid hates math. The other kid loves math. And my wife said, do whatever you want. Kind of thing. Of course, we can't. No, you cannot do that. So can I impress you again? Parents play most important role. But in following three aspects, there are many, but I just read it. Number one is parent. Most important on carrying out, number one, we pray for our children. Mm-hmm. Brothers, sisters, this marriage, I really have a feeling. Pray for our children. While you pray, this is the thing. You may forget why you pray for your children. You pray for the next day. What did I pray last night? You may forget. God remember every prayer you pray. Mm-hmm. I believe it. I got the answer. Through text message came 3 days ago. I'm so thankful he texted me before I came here so I can use it. We pray, my wife and I pray for my son and daughter last 20 years. Lord started to answer it here and there, but it took 18 years of prayer. We pray, never answer, so my wife said, God never answered to us. And I remember, it sounds exactly like your daughter. No wonder she learned from them. That's how we got there. Husband and wife kind of big argument with her, so don't do that. Your wife already right, husband is always wrong, so that's how I believe. All right, so 21 years. We pray. Second, we sow the seed. Every day, whatever we do, we are sowing. You're sowing. Whatever you do, kids are eating it. They're observing you. Yeah. You know, right? They look like they don't see anything while you are doing. They have zero interest about what you are doing. The moment you point out what they are mistaken, within a second, they attack back to you with what you did. Mm-hmm. Now, one time, my wife was so frustrated. The kids are having a meal. They never put the chairs back. Mm-hmm. So she waited 2 weeks. 1 month, eventually she was, I can tell, some boiling volcano is coming out, like, and then she's like, get! Like this. Like this. Because she was fully sure they have a name. And then I was a little bit enjoying. Finally, they're wrong. I'm not wrong. And I'm walking away. I was with them. Thank you, honey. It was a nice dinner. I tried to avoid the volcano. I got my peaceful couch talking. Until my daughter said, Mom, Dad didn't do it either. And then I turned around the table. My chair was not going in. So that was the end of conversation with our children. And she looked at me, honey, I need to talk to you. That was not a pretty evening. That was like kids. They remember everything you do. Of course, saints, don't be scared about, you like careful like this. I'm talking about why parents are so important. Start with us because we sow something into them. It really doesn't matter what you did up to this point. Our spirit is, we stretch forward the things which are before from now on. So, saints, just remember that you sow the seed. So that's why, brothers, a parent is like a living moment-by-moment pattern. P-E-T-T-R. First thing is we pray for them. Second thing is we are parents. We sow something into them. We like a certain music, our kids remember that. We like to buy certain things, remember that. So That's why parenting is a very heavy responsibility. But this responsibility is glorious. Especially grandparents here, man, several centuries of grandparents. Isn't it? It is worthwhile. You, even though you live that way, this is what is my benefit out of this? When you receive a text message like from your son and daughter, like I received this one, you know what? This text message is a value the way more than 21 years of prayer. It's worth it. Our life is spent 2 decades so I can receive this one text message. I'll do it again. I'll wait for another 20 years if I can get another text message like this from her. I know some of you have received this kind of text message, millions, thousands. Bless are you, but I just received for the time. So I hope I can receive a little more often than every 20 years. So we saw this pattern, P-E-P-A-T-T-R, pattern. Parent, real pattern. So pray and pattern. And what is number 3? This no one can replace, no one can do for you. That is spending time with them. But in this regard, I've shared, and then we may have maybe right after this, we can, after finish reading, we can have a little break. That is this. Spending time with them is a big topic. Big topic among the many brothers and sisters in the church. Right? If you promise you are not taking it personal, I will tell the story. I promise? Do you promise? I'm not talking about you. But if you feel touched, well, it's up to you. But don't take it personal, okay? All right. This is a story. One time I went to visit the saints, a group of young couples at the parents, or maybe some older saints too. They asked me if I would try to share something. How can I become good parents? That's always a difficult answer. I mean, I'm worse than you are, but how can I say? Okay, how about that? I may have told a few my failure. They are thoroughly encouraged. Why? I'm much better than you are, so you're still alive. So that's good. I have enough reason to go on. But I tell them once, homework. Can I suggest one homework, whether you can do it or not? And then, yeah, what is it? Whatever it is, I'll do it. Okay, some of young couple, you like California. You like to go out to the playground. Because California weather is, I never checked the weather when I was in Irvine, maybe 2 or 3 times a year. The weather is about the same. And then, in the Southern Korean like this, one time I got a phone call from students, and then, hey, Brian Andrew, so I cannot come to appointment time with you. Really? Are you sick? No. Are you busy with school? No. Oh, you have nothing to do. Why you cannot make it? He said, outside is raining. So, Brian Andrew, did I tell you outside is raining? He said, I cannot go outside. Jokingly, they're using the raining as an excuse not to come to court, like, appointment time. So that means that we never check the weather. So that's the point. So we went to you go to the playground. Can I ask you 3 things, whether you can do it or not? Number one, when you're with your children at the playground, can you promise you're not going to use your cell phone? And this is maybe not. Number two. Even somebody texts you, you don't respond to unless it is an emergency. And then number 3, you don't send any text to somebody else. And then everybody laughs, and I hear some kind of sighing at the same time. Literally, I went back to that locality 2 years later, kind of jokingly checked. Hey, sisters, how are you doing? Is called 100% failure. No one could make it. So this is what I forgot. I told the surgeon, and then they were a little bit more threatened. When you have a little chance, in church life so busy, when you have a little opportunity to quality time with your children, you think about how you think. You are using your phone at such a time. First thing, your kids thinking, number one, oh, mom is enjoying self more than me. Number two, since she enjoys cell phone so much, I like to have it too. And number 3 is the worst. I'm not that important. So anyway, this is a very small thing. In other words, Number three, parents need to have a proper quality time. But I want to make sure, now there's some young couples go too far. Quality time at the level of sacrificing church life, really, no, no, no. We are here, we pay the price, we give everything for Christ and the church. We could live different way if we are not in the church life. We pay the price to be in the church life so that we can bring our own children to be in the church life. But if we are not absolute for Christ and the church, when kids are growing up, hey, church and Christ and the church are not important to my parents. Why is it important to me? We cannot do that. So please don't go too far in this regard there. Sacrifice church life a lot, and then you try to increase. One thing, the quality time is even 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Grandmother, grandpa here, we call the old school brothers and sisters, they know this rule. Even 5, 10 minutes, if you pay full attention, spending time with them, they remember those moments, even though they are young. That's the turn out the very missing part among the many young couples today. Everything is electronic, everything is outward, everything is a superficial, everything is instant. There's not much like spending time with our children. Actually, children, I'm not talking about children, please understand children, not talking about the little kid, even teenagers. They want, even though they don't look like but this is another story. We thought our children never pay attention to what we are doing. Yet. So one time, my wife and I, we talk, honey, we go on some trip, you and I buy the ticket and everything. We kind of like this. So because of, we're so afraid my daughter listen. So we got it. You know, somehow, next day, my wife was driving with her, and she told my wife, Mom, the ticket you tried, but that's not the best one. My wife said, how did you know? Did dad told you? No. I told you? No. I just heard that. And not that much, our children's interest in us. Children's interest in us. So, there's indestructible, our children really want to have a quality time. Even though they complain to the others, let's go out. I don't want to go out. But deep within, this and what I heard, this is what I experienced personally. As your children enjoy, parents say something, suggest something, all the thing, so to pay attention to them. This is, I'm not co-workers, but at the same time, I travel in different churches, be with some different parents. Really, I'm spending a lot of time with the children, young people, college. We even had a survey. I bring the young people survey, 10-question survey. Anonymous, but they was very, we give an environment, they really enjoy that they have a full freedom to write whatever. Once they find out whatever, yes, whatever. Nobody will know. I'm not going to check with the FBI your handwriting so that I can know who wrote it. I'm not going to do that. Don't worry about it. And they were, are you sure? And then, I can really write down something? Yeah, you can really write down until ink has no, pen is no ink in it. So we thought they were not going to write them, but last year we did it in Ohio. Page up and down, what they're looking for. You know what I found out? They love the church life. They love the saints. You know what we all find out? Teenagers love the parents. Brother Jose, your daughter loves you. They have enough reason to go out and praise all 100 times. Literally, many of them say they love parents. They love. They don't look like. They never said, "Mom, I love you," but they love you.
Amen.
They sing it. But there's a. Sorry, I don't want to preach. I start the bit orange tree. Okay. But there are some comments related to it. That is, you know, there are different young people express certain words. Sometimes sounds like they're complaining about what you are doing. But sometimes you read very carefully, there is some heart behind it. So I collect them, I read one after the other. And then we're serving them with fellows. We make a Google Doc, but we're not going to release to them because it related to Ohio. About the 60 young people, 50 high school did it. Actually, we start to read in between lines that is, they love to be with their parents. They love to be with the saints. They love to be. But they just get confused with the whole world. They don't know how to control themselves. They're like, I hate you. But actually their meaning is I love you. But just whole thing got mixed up. And the listeners are like, you hate me? Okay, I'm not gonna go away. But love me, are you coming? We kind of, what is your feeling? I do not know. But in between line, they like to be with the parents. They like to be with the saints. They like to be in the meeting. They love the local church life. Because they know, you know, our kids look so stupid. Our looks get so stubborn. But actually, they have a common sense called who loved people like that in whole world like a saint? Other people, like, if you give them give and take. Only church, free meal. Still causing problem behind this at the base. We pray for them. Who does that? Only church does that. They know about it. But they just don't know how to convey their appreciation. But because they don't like a certain meeting, they don't like Brother Robert always giving instruction. So like, there's no perfect. So they have complaint, but they love it. All mixed with their teenager, their friends tempting them out. All things are mixed up together. They really don't know where they are. So that's why the expression is, I hate you. So for a while, I took it. So whenever, now, different. Whenever our kids say, I hate you, you know, oh, that means you love me. At least feel better. Really meaning is, they love you. Saints told me, older brother, when younger ones say they hate you, that means there's a lot of love in it. If they're indifferent to you, why they hate you? They have nothing to do with you. Isn't it grandmother, grandparents, or you can't raise young people like that? Complain. That means loving more. But I try to love you. You don't take it. Actually, they are taking it, but not according to your way, according to their way. They love the church. Brothers and sisters, I like to convey you. They love. I read the 60th survey. I fully convinced our young people love the church life to the or the way more than what you think. But the way they express is different from your way. But you don't understand. But God understands how much they love the saints, how much they love parents. But big lack is kids are looking for time together. Okay, this expression, I hope they learned. Brother Minor has been training full-timers in Southern California. I was Irvine. He said, you need to have a personal time with the Lord other than morning revival. The morning revival, like sometimes coffee and donuts time. You rustling it, and then you coffee, drinking, like the donuts, whoo, and they're like, oh, I enjoyed it, and then 5 minutes, okay, see you, Lord. Hopefully, I can see you again tomorrow. Kind of coffee and donuts. So, didn't you feel that way? Do you really feel fully revived? Maybe some older grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister among us. But I usually have a morning about 45 minutes. Until about 44th, 45th, that's when I start something is flowing. If I have a morning about 15 minutes, I did a morning revival, I didn't feel revived at all. But very difficult. So he trained us, have another time, once a week, some point, afternoon, you go quiet play, have a longer time, just about an hour. But he did tell this way. And he has been telling the same way. Actually, I experienced it again and again. Most likely, when you have a personal time with the Lord, first 55 minutes is nothing. Lord, I'm here. Here I am. Did you hear me? Well, I told you, here I am. I told you, like, 50, almost nothing happened. But when you're open, about 55 minutes, at the end of 5 minutes, something starts to feel something flowing. He said, most of the full-timers, they always stop their contacting the Lord right before 55 minutes. So they feel like God is not real. So I heard that. Experience again and again like that. So I decide all the way to the end. 56 minutes, 57 minutes. So why I'm trying to say it like this. When we have time with the young people, our children in our home, most looks like they are not open to us at all. They don't listen to us. They don't enjoy our time. It is. But actually, if you really spend enough time, a little bit more, sitting right next to them, do what they do, even though you have no idea what they're talking about. And you have zero interest in what they are watching. You're skillful, you like to change the channel, but they like to change the channel, and then you end the bathroom break, they come back to the original channel, kind of the experience. They just want to be with you. But somehow, later part, after 50 minutes, 55 minutes, some coming up. That's what kids feel comfortable enough. Some point they try to express how they have been feeling. A little bit, like this. Spread some kind of powder a little bit. Never say clearly. It's been nowadays young teenagers. So point it is, brothers and sisters, our young people are looking for quality time with us. But quality time doesn't mean you sacrifice church. Just whatever you have, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, really pay full attention. Isn't that Lord one? He wants us to give him an undivided attention. Why not? Our children may have the same. They have the same desire. They want to receive undivided attention, whether they are doing good, whether they are not doing good. Especially, parents here, you think, have a little hand. Especially when our children are not doing well. That's the time we give undivided attention to them. Because children are picking up the data. You heard about this expression, the survey. Data is following. Oh, when I decide to go conference, my mom smile. Check. That means if I decide not to go conference, my mom will not smile. Check. It's not my word. Children said, when I go to Saturday meeting, my mom said, oh, next time I'll buy ice cream for you. So Saturday meeting equal eating ice cream. Check. There are a lot of checklists. So if a kid be in the church like a few years, especially 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, they know what serving ones like, what serving ones don't like, what parents like. Sometimes they like to become, they have an innate desire, they like to become good kid, good brother in the church. They perform that. We don't want our children to perform. We like our children become genuine so that they can build up the proper humanity. How can we do that? We need to be with them as much as we can. So this is the three things is a parenting. Parents play important role. Number one, we pray for the future. Maybe I hope Josh's children send this kind of text man when he is a 10-year-old instead of a 21-year-old.
He won't have a phone when he's 10. Maybe 14.
We will see. We will see. Well, whether you have him, we will see. Okay. Next time parents come and I will adjust, how old is your kid? Yeah, my kid becoming 10. Like this, you know, like, doesn't have a kid. Oh, that means you're a good man. We'll see what happens. It will be challenging, getting harder and harder. So second thing is, what is second thing? The parenting is most important thing. We sow the seed. So sometimes you like to do something, but if you have a conscious, if I do that, I sow something, you may ask the Lord, shepherd me not to do this. I cannot help but doing it, but I need you, shepherd me not to do this for the sake of my children. Because you are sowing the seed. You are sowing the seed. And number three, spend as much as you can at quality time. They love to be with you. I'm fully convinced. So, okay. So now I'm back to my daughter's story. Sorry. So she didn't want to spend time with us, anything like that. So now college is coming in. So she had to write an essay. The different school she but she's waiting for a result. The essay is not fake. You have to be genuine. So he refused to show essay to me. But she was willing to show essay to my wife. I don't know why children like mom more than dad, but that's a consistent practice in the human history like that. But brothers, be encouraged. My son go to college, he talked to me more than to my wife. and then my wife called him, you are a betrayer! And I told my wife, he's not a betrayer, he become normalized. Okay, that's not the focus. Okay, he wrote the essay, but my wife said, okay, you may want to read this one. He started genuinely how much he loved the Lord, how much he loved the church life. And he said, some church members following, not exact names, affected my life in many different ways. And two of them is me and my wife. So I still pretend I didn't read anything. I don't know anything. Our children want quality time. So I'm a big failure in this regard. Next sentence is very heart-aching. But there is, I don't want to be emotional, but I almost cried there. But unfortunately, basically, for paraphrasing, my dad is not around me that much. And he said, I understand my dad is serving in the church. And she wrote all this as an essay. You just take it, don't take it, I like that. But he's not around at home, which is true. I didn't get around that much at home. See, this week I'm here, I'm supposed to be at home. Yeah. I've got another minus point because of Robert forced me. I told her that because not me. I didn't want to go, but Robert forced me to go. So, quality. So saying, this may be, I hope I say I'm the one who's to speak on this. This is the, what our children really love the church. I'm fully convinced they love the saints. And really mean it, they love their mom and dad. And they love to be with the mom and dad. But not according to our way, but according to their way, according to their timing, even according to their terminology. I really mean it, it took for a while, but I really enjoy when they use, I hate this thing, I think, you love me so much. I'm not joking, that's how I really sense it. So this is a, parents play such important role in our thing. But two more sentences I didn't say. How about we have a breakfast and then I will continue about the two sentences, which is the opposite direction. Is it okay? So since already 10:30, I really didn't mean to speak to you. I'm sorry if I spoke too much and you have to forgive me. But how about how long we have made some break?
Yeah.
Or they like to respond something, anything, or whatever. Whatever you say, I don't want to.
We'll take a break first.
Yeah, break.